All right. Thank you very much, everybody, for joining. I'm Martin Suberg. I'm the commissioner of the Massachusetts Department of Environmental Protection. Kathy Baskin is our assistant commissioner for water, and also our technical person for having this conference call video transmission taking place today. We at DEP, we're still getting the hang of using technologies like Zoom and other things to have, you know, calls where, like in this case, we have several hundred people on. As I was hearing at the beginning of the call, some of you may be on video, some of you may be like me, like being on the telephone. You know, we appreciate your flexibility. I think the system we have set up today will hopefully work. You know, I know when you do these big calls like this, you know, the feedback and a lot of background noise becomes an issue. And so that's why Kathy announced at the beginning that, you know, everybody's going to be muted. And if you want to speak, you unmute yourself and then remute yourself. So it's a little bit cumbersome, but hopefully it will work. One other thing during the course of this call, you know, we're also encouraging people that if you want to ask a question, you can also send it to Kathy via email. Her name is Kathleen, K-A-T-H-L-E-E-N, .Baskin, B like Baker, A-S-K-I-N, @mass.gov. That's Kathleen.Baskin. Baskin @mass.gov. She'll be pulling those questions together, you know, and you know, be feeding them to me during the call. We're also going to obviously make time available for, you know, people to unmute themselves and ask if something didn't get covered. But Kathy's email address is a good one to have going forward, because it's one of several that we're going to be trying to make available to you in case your question comes up after this. You know, we want to make sure that we are maintaining a consistent and ongoing form of communication. And to that end, this is the first call we have. We plan to have them on a regular basis. If it's, you know, if you all agree that it is worthwhile, we are planning to do another one next week at this time, just to make sure that we're keeping many avenues of communication open. So we will plan to do another call like this next week again. We're also going to make available some questions and answers, some of which we're going to cover here. You know, we're going to put them up on the Mass Commonwealth's COVID-19 website. We wanted to make sure that we're hearing all of the questions and we can address as many of them as possible. So we will have written questions and answers on the COVID-19 website. We'll also develop a link for our own website, so it might be a little easier to find, but we're going to try to keep, putting answers to questions that folks may have and updating them as we move along. But we're hopeful in the next few days to have the questions and answers, the questions you raise here and some of the things we talk about here up on the website on the the mass.gov COVID-19 site. One other note, one piece of information that you will have in those written questions and answers, and we're also going to try to push out contact information separately through our email chains, is the contacts in each of the regions, as well as headquarters that you can reach out to. MassDEP is working right now. We're working remotely, but we are working, and we are doing our best to stay current and make sure that we're responding to things in a timely fashion. We have representatives, I believe, from each of the regions on the line with us this morning, so that if there are things for a particular area that need to be followed up on, they can do that. And also that we're generally all aware of the types of issues that are being talked about as part of this process. I also want to say thank you. I believe Denny Dart from the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, Region 1, is on the line with us and some of her team. As you know, in Massachusetts, we are not a fully delegated state for issues related to NPDES and other wastewater issues. And so we believe that it was important to have EPA on the line in case, you know, some of these issues relate to things that they would have a more direct oversight of, or, you know, that they might be able to provide assistance to. So thank you to Denny Dart for joining. I might ask her, before we get into some of the questions, to maybe say, a few introductory words in case there's anything from the federal perspective that you want to highlight. And then after Denny is done, I would, go through some of the questions and answers we have already, received from operators and, start the conversation there. So, Denny, if you are willing to, if you'd like to, hit star six and maybe, give us briefly the federal perspective, that would be great.
Okay, hi, this is Denny Dart. I'm the chief of the water compliance section in EPA Region 1. And I just wanted to thank MassDEP for putting this call together and for the thoughtful work you've been doing. And then most of all, thank the operators. You're doing critical work for public health. We are also open, though working at home, and available to take calls, and we're coordinating closely with MassDEP.
Okay. Well, great, Denny. Thank you very much. And it's terrific to have you on the call. And as I said, it may be that as we go through some of the questions, there may be perspectives that you and your team may be able to offer. So thank you for being with us. And so with that, I am going to plunge into the program, and I will start exactly where Denny did. First of all, thank you to all of you for, the work you're doing. It's important work to protect public health and the environment every day. And it is even more important and even more challenging right now in the circumstances we're in. And I know that so many of you have been, trying to, working to prepare for the, whatever the unanticipated circumstances are. You're doing a lot of work on how to keep operations going. You're looking for support and flexibility from agencies like MassDEP and EPA as you encounter unusual situations, and we're eager to support you in that effort. Again, we recognize this is a highly unprecedented situation, and that we want to be supportive of you. Sometimes the questions come in like, if we're varying things, and we've heard this on the drinking water side as well, where we're also doing regular communications. Again, we're trying to be thoughtful. We're trying to be with you in this case. Enforcement isn't our top priority right now. We obviously, as regulators, need to be with you there to make sure that things are running okay, but we need to it running as they should. But we also recognize that whether it's some of the issues that you're confronting in operations or in the area of inspections or monitoring, we need to be actively engaged with you and making sure that we're being supportive. So again, one of the themes that you might hear often as we talk about it is, the regional DEP staff and the headquarters staff, the regional staff are available. We'd encourage you, if you have specific questions about your system, to, contact them. We will be working very hard to get back to you very quickly, because we recognize, what's at stake here. And so we'll make the the contact information. Again, if you're, you know, whoever you've been dealing with in the course of your work over the, you know, the past year, you know, should be in a position to help you out. But we recognize that, you know, where, you know, things are acute, we are giving you the names of, you know, leadership and sort of, and people that are spending a lot of time making sure that they can be as quick in their responses as possible in each region. So a couple of things I wanted to start with. You know, I've indicated that, you know, we're going to try to put out some additional guidance and questions and answers based on the questions we've been getting and which we expect to get here on our website. You know, we're going to try to answer as many questions as we can today. Those things that, you know, we may need to work on, we will pledge to do so expeditiously and you know, keep people informed on that. There are a few things I wanted to let you know that we're trying to do to you know, in response to this effort. This is one of the ways in which we're trying to stay in touch. We've been trying to stay in touch regularly with really a number of people that are important in your area, including the New England Water Environment Association, the Massachusetts Water Environment Association, the Massachusetts Coalition for Water Resource Stewardship, NEWEPIC, New England Interstate Water Pollution Control Commission, and others. So we're trying to make sure that we're keeping in touch with as many people as possible to address these, you know, concerns, questions, things requiring follow-up. Also, you may have, as you know, on Monday, March 23rd, the governor issued an order related to coronavirus requiring all non-essential, you know, workers to stay home. As part of that order, he had an appendix which identified who essential workers are, and these include water and wastewater service providers, laboratories, and related workers. One question that we got, and we tried to anticipate this question, was this does include not only municipal and government systems, but this also does include private contractors that may be operating systems as well. If you take a look at Exhibit A, you'll see that it's, you know, it covers both. And we'd be happy if there were particular sub questions to talk about that. Yesterday, the governor filed legislation to, you know, help municipalities in a number of areas. I will note that one area that was highlighted in the governor's announcement was suspending the cap on the hours per year limit on retired municipal workers who are, you know, may be coming back to work, you know, to help out in a situation like this. So we'd heard that was a source of some concern. So the legislation filed yesterday still has to pass, but it was filed yesterday for municipal relief includes that. Other things that we've heard are, you know, questions that we've gotten are license renewals and increasing the operator pool. And we're going to talk in a little more detail about that in a moment. We have been dealing with the board. We have been exploring options for making sure that, you know, we are providing as much certainty as possible on that. And so later in this call, I'm going to ask John Murphy and Kathy Baskin to walk us through some of the steps we've taken in that area. One thing that's come up, and it comes up with a number of our, you know, critical infrastructure providers, we have been asked about supplies, particularly for personal protective equipment. We've been asked if there is a state MEMA program that would provide that. At this time, there is not. As you know, there is a shortage of, you know, we see that, you know, the efforts are devoted to getting gear to medical workers. We recognize that it is an important consideration for your industry. We have raised this with a number of authorities as a key issue for you all, and we're going to continue to work on it. But as of today, I don't have a specific place. What I'd also encourage you to do, while we are raising it at the state level, you know, some of you may be engaged with your own local emergency management agencies, you know, as a potential different way to raise this as a need. On another issue on supplies, I haven't heard that it's a question yet, but if there is concerns about chemicals and running out of chemicals, we would ask that you let Mass DEP know early. You know, even, you know, if you're hearing things like that, we've been making the same request of the drinking water side of the house. And, you know, we're in contact on this issue as with others with you know, the people at EPA and the emergency management side of the house, just so that we're not in a situation where we're down to a critical level before we're dealing with it. So, you know, if you're concerned that, you know, there are certain chemical supplies that you're running out of, or you think you may, based on what you're hearing from suppliers or what you're hearing from, you know, any of the sources from which you get these materials, let us know. Finally, we've heard a lot, and we're going to do our own bit about, I know a lot of you are dealing with, you know, the impact of wipes on the system and clogging the systems. We're trying to push out some public messaging there to encourage people, as you have been doing. I noticed MWRA and a couple of other systems have some really good pieces out there to remind people that they shouldn't be flushing these things, because it just creates other problems. So we're working on that right now to push some messages out at the state level. So if I could, I'll go through some of the questions that we heard, you know, already. And, you know, follow up, you know, with, you know, again, some of these will be put in writing, these and some more will be put in writing. But, you know, some of the questions we've gotten, you know, I'll read off now and some of the ways we're talking about answering it. The first one is the most up-to-date information, you know, that we have about, you know, the COVID-19 and you know, its impact in water and wastewater systems, and what are the best worker protocols in place, you know, that, you know, to protect workers and to protect the people they interact with. What we have, you know, in terms of what we know about COVID in water and sewerage systems is we're relying on a publication from the World Health Organization. That seems to be the most definitive word, which indicates there is no evidence that the virus has been transmitted via sewerage systems with or without a treatment. We're also relying on OSHA documents, which, you know, point out that, water is treated and disinfected, you know, we're not seeing any evidence that, you know, the virus passes through. So we're highlighting the OSHA documents, as well as a document by CDC for best workplace practices. There is an OSHA publication at number 3990 that contains the latest guidance from the federal authorities in terms of practices you should undertake. And so we're going to be highlighting those as well. We do not have specific guidance beyond that. So we're relying on those guidance documents and the latest data that those documents have. On inspections and repairs, we got a question about whether MassDEP is performing on-site inspections, particularly for, you know, systems that have things like new pump stations coming up. We are, up until now, you know, with the early orders, MassDEP did pull back significantly from inspections until we got a better sense of what types of measures we should be taking to, you know, be protective not only of our own workers, but the people we come in contact with. So we're working to develop those protocols right now. In the meantime, we do recognize that if you have something that needs to go online, we will work with you. So if there is a particular inspection, particularly if it's coming up in the next couple of weeks, if you could, you know, reach out again, you know, just to make sure it's on our radar screen with your regional staff, we will do our very best to make sure that we aren't disrupting your schedule for getting key infrastructure online. We got a question about our collection system and pump station wet well inspections. Still a requirement, and the answer is yes. We're trying to maintain the systems to the greatest extent possible. However, we do recognize that, you know, again, in this environment with this disease, you know, there and you know, systems having to manage to make sure that they're able to keep managing the system, we are trying to be thoughtful about timing, schedules, and the way in which it's done. And so I would encourage you to engage with, you know, your regional contacts. Again, if you think you're going to have a problem meeting certain schedules, we will try to provide more guidance. But, you know, there are things that systems are talking about, including more use of SCADA, telemetry alarms, and other ways to provide more information on operations. And we would you know, encourage you to engage with our regional office on that. We've gotten questions about staffing. A number of your systems, we know, are doing very thoughtful work about making sure that you have enough manpower to be, you know, able to operate throughout a crisis, you know, whether it's splitting shifts or other measures. So, you know, we're aware of that. If it and again, we want to encourage you to be, you know, to take those kinds of thoughtful measures. If you have some question about whether this meets, you know, staffing plan requirements or not, again, we would encourage you to, you know, if you have a doubt or a question, to be in touch with regional MassDEP staff to, you know, to help us work with you on that. You know, we've gotten a question about what if operators at small systems are unavailable due to illness. You know, again, the person, you know, what the program reminds me is the person in direct response that's directly in charge during the absence of the chief operator can be one grade below the grade of the plant. That's already in our regulations. And in other situations, just reach out to us. Again, we're going to be all having to work creatively on this. If you feel like you are not going to be able to meet required staffing requirements, you know, once again, make sure that you're talking to our regional office. We are trying to be thoughtful about how we get more licensed operators on board. At this point, I might ask either Kathy Baskin or John Murphy to go through some of the steps that we have been taking to help get more licensed operators on board, and things like emergency certifications and other measures that might help you out through this. And so I might ask Kathy or John to unmute themselves and to you know, give us an update on that.
Hi, Marty, this is Kathy. I'm going to defer to John, who's really the expert on this.
Can you hear me?
We hear you, John.
All right. So the first question.
Hey, John. John, you sound a little far away. Are you on the computer? Are you on the phone? Or is there something you can do to make yourself a little louder? Are you also on both computer and phone? Because we're getting a lot of feedback.
Yep, let me walk away from the computer.
That's much better.
Okay, good. So the first order is license that expired on 12/31/19. We are going to keep those licenses unrevoked for the time being to allow for the pool of operators to remain where it was at December 31st. As some of you may have known, the exam site to take the test have been shut down until April 13th. So we want to make sure inactive operators are given an opportunity the people who didn't renew at December 31st, an opportunity to still stay in the system. So if you've had recently retired operators, now would be a good time to reach out to them. Also, if you have operators who have maybe retired and went to inactive status, we're going to relax the 10 TCH requests to change an inactive license to active. So that will help things there. The big one is the emergency certifications, and I want to emphasize this to everyone now. If you are going to look into or require emergency certifications, the easiest approach is going to be to call me directly, and I will be able to walk you through completing the application process. You'll be able to submit the emergency certification application directly to me by email. And we're hoping the board, you know, I've contacted them, and we're looking to be able to turn around the emergency certifications in about 2 to 3 days. The other option is reciprocity. Operators from other states, same approach there would be to call me, fill out the application, and to email it to me. The goal, obviously, with these emergency certifications is to turn them around quickly so the staffing and certification levels aren't, so everything is running smoothly there. So my email and cell phone number, I think, will be circulated after the call. So feel free to reach out. I've had a bunch of facilities already reach out, so I appreciate the proactiveness of it. And feel free to call me to discuss any of those items.
Hey, John, it's Kathy. The email and phone numbers might go out, not instantaneously. So if you don't mind, it would be great if you gave folks that information.
Yes. So my cell phone number is 617-352-3375. So 617-352-3375. And the best email for me is john.j.murphy@mass.gov.
All right. Thank you for that update, John. And appreciate your telling us how the board is approaching this and these procedures. To that end, while we're on staffing, a couple of the questions we've gotten, as we address this, I was trying to indicate again that, we've gotten questions about, should we be splitting up crews and licensed operators? Should we only be going out on emergency calls? Other operational, changes during it. Again, we want to encourage you. And again, these questions show a lot of good thinking that we would like to support. All we ask is that if you have particular concerns about, possible operational issues, that you contact your regional staff so they know about it. And then we can make sure that we're all seeing the world the same way. We got a question again. I covered this earlier about how can we be sure that contract operators will be able to continue to do their work. you know, and if there's an order like the one the governor issued on Monday, once again, licensed wastewater operators are deemed essential. This covers both private and public. We've gotten a question there. There's no, you know, as this is implemented, probably the best thing to do is to have whatever identification badge or thing you have with you. You don't get, like a particular letter. Nobody in the essential industries do, but in the unlikely situation in which you are asked, for that, the best advice we can give you is to have your identification and explain that I think most people will understand that people doing water and wastewater operations are essential. Certainly that's been the message that the administration has been, putting out there. So that's how it works. There's, again, you don't get a, particular card or letter. It's just, you're able to indicate that you're covered as an essential industry based on the terms of the order. We've gotten a question about are sludge haulers considered essential personnel. Once again, the exhibit to the governor's order indicates that the workers who support the operation, inspection, and maintenance of essential public works, facilities, and operations, we would view, the haulers as important. We would say yes. If you need additional guidance, let us know. Some questions about sampling and operation and maintenance. One question about sampling: can sampling facilities requirements at a facility be suspended? And what we're really trying to do is encourage best efforts to monitor and sample. I might ask, at the end of my part, if EPA has any additional thoughts on this. Having said that, once again, because of the unprecedented nature of what we're dealing with here, if you think you're going to have a problem with doing some of this because of manpower or other things going on, just let our regional people know. And we will try to work with you on that. We got a question about if a facility served by the wastewater treatment plant I operate is shut down and not generating flows, am I required to sample? If there's no effluent discharge, there is no permit requirement to sample flows. On EDEP reports, and we did get this question, EDEP is still up and running. The daily summary sheet should indicate dates for which there was no discharge. So that's hopefully some help there that, if it's not operating, then you don't have to do, you don't have to, do sampling. We've gotten a question about, has there been any discussion regarding adjusting chlorine levels, in the effluent to favor bacteria kill versus the current goal to achieve the partial kill? Again, we're relying on OSHA data, and I might ask Kathy Baskin and her wastewater folks to supplement this answer. But, it says that if you wish to affect more rigorous disinfection, we would support that approach as long as there are controls to prevent against toxic impacts at and near the point of discharge. Again, requiring it, but it, if you're thinking of making that change, keep that in mind. We've gotten a question now about are we requiring operators at the plant to enter the headworks of the plant or to take sludge judge readings at both the primary and secondary tanks? Not performing any non-necessary maintenance at the plant. Is this okay? And again, we are encouraging all actions to ensure the continuity of operations. And, you should take all actions that you determine necessary to provide the proper treatment and disposal. And just, stay in touch with us. if you compliance schedules. If you have a compliance schedule and are pretty sure you're going to need an extension, we will work with you and want to evaluate that on a case-by-case basis. Here's one where I may turn it over, this because this specifically asks about EPA, so this is a good opportunity here. What discussions has MassDEP had with EPA on compliance schedules, reporting extensions, and other deadlines? So, Denny, I know that, you know, you're not only dealing with this in Massachusetts, but really for other jurisdictions. And, you know, obviously EPA is looking at this issue nationally. Is there anything you'd like to highlight from the EPA perspective?
Hi, this is Denny. I'd say if you have individual concerns about meeting reporting, sampling, other requirements in your MBDS permit, please reach out to the contacts at EPA Region 1. That's Doug Koopman for most of the state and David Turin for Southeast Mass. And the contact information for them will be in the meeting minutes. But I think that's how we're handling things right now, is on a case-by-case basis.
Okay, thank you, Denny. So I think with that, you know, I've already highlighted that, you know, some of the, you know, some of the other, you know, issues we've done. And again, I'm gonna make a big push to get contact information out, as you know, for our folks as quickly as possible. With that, I might stop here and see if there are questions that we are getting. You know, even since this call started. Kathy, I don't know if anybody's taken us up on our, you know, the opportunity to email you with a question.
Yes, we did get one question so far, and let's see. It is, our NPDES permit requires that we submit an annual report on collection system by March 31st. I have completed the report, but can't print and mail it right now. Is there an email at EPA and MassDEP that I could submit it to electronically? We are in the central region for DEP. And I believe we do have some central regional staff on the line.
Okay, well, let's start with the first thing. Would we be, you know, in this time, March 31st is obviously coming right up and these folks have a real issue here. Would we accept an electronic version of it? I know we've been trying to encourage people to do that, you know, particularly at this time. Is the program, Kathy Leldon or whoever's, you know, making this decision would, you know, at least as far as DEP is concerned, I would like to think that we would be able to accept an electronic submittal.
Yes, I think we've been encouraging that.
Okay, so... One thing to do is to, you know, potentially, you know, email it into your MassDEP contact to satisfy that requirement.
Commissioner, this is Leldon on the line. Yes, we would accept an electronic version for now. If the normal course is to submit it in hard copy, then yes, please also follow up with that when that, you know, when you're able to do that later on. You can send it directly to either me. The email address is lealdon.langley, L-A-N-G-L-E-Y, at mass.gov. I'll type it into the group chat box here. If you see at the bottom of the screen, you'll see a chat bar and or a chat bubble, and people can click on that and get my email address. I can distribute that. And then I'll just ask Denny Dart if she's still available on the phone to respond whether that's acceptable to EPA as well.
So yes, this is Denny Dart, and yes, it's acceptable to send any of the reports you need to send by email, but I would also encourage you to attach them when you submit your discharge monitoring report through NetDMR. That is another way you can submit them electronically, and that would be helpful to us to get them that way as well.
Okay, terrific. Thank you, Leldon, and thank you, Denny. Have any other questions come in via email, Kathy?
Yes, Commissioner. There's another question that's similar to one we got yesterday with the water suppliers, and that is, are administrative staff also considered essential? And that was, I did look through the Appendix A, and I did not find administrative or financial staff. I'm not sure if we've received clarification on that one.
Yeah, we're looking into that. You know, clearly the purpose of the order was to make sure that we were allowing all the people that need to work to keep these public health functions, you know, things that are so essential to us all working. It's on the administrative and fiscal side of the house, we'll try to get a little bit of guidance on that. We'll try to get a little bit of guidance on that. And, you know, clearly if, you know, you have a particular case that, you know, might help with the situation where you feel either somebody is or somebody isn't, let us know. But we're going to try to push that out in the questions and answers that we publish.
Okay. So here is another question. Is there any information regarding the lifespan or potential exposure to the virus in the wastewater stream? Are we more susceptible in aeration or mixing environments?
I don't know if anybody on the program has that information. What I'm aware of is the World Health Organization information, and I don't know if it specifically gets to that. Is there anybody on the program that can answer that? If not, we will take it back to our Office of Research and Standards to help us get the latest on that.
Yeah, I think we need more research on that. We've been relying on, federal and the international experts, and we'll see what more we can find.
Okay. That's a follow-up. And again, we'll try to push that answer out as quickly as possible.
Yep. There's another one here. Let's see. Is it useful to give operators and managers a sense of the risk to their health in their work environments? Overall, the risk to biosolids workers, farmers, and the public from COVID-19 is minimal from what I have read. Wastewater treatment inactivates/kills coronaviruses, and biosolids treatments, both class A and class B, generally inactivates/kills them. I should mention that this is from Ned Beecher of NEBRA. So he's a, he follows the residuals market and industry. There may be some risk in exposure to raw untreated wastewater, but experts have said that any risk would only be if there was a large number of infected people contributing to the wastewater, which might happen in a few places. This is where personal protective equipment should be used diligently in collection system work at pump stations at the headworks. So Ned recommends the Water Environment Federation webpage, which I think we have also referenced at the back of our Q&A when that's published. And then he says, regarding septic systems, they are like collection systems. There's a chance for exposure if the household has significant infection in it. Anyone working on an active septic system or pumping and transporting septic should use appropriate protective equipment like gloves, face shields, masks, and clothing to avoid contact, and wash hands, don't eat or smoke while working in accordance with existing recommendations for wastewater workers. So thank you very much, Ned, for helping frame an answer to that question.
And it is useful. But there are some of the issues related to the previous question there. And what we will do is do our best to, get the information out there. We agree that the Water Environment Federation web link is a good one. Again, we've been looking at what the World Health Organization and OSHA have said about it. We will, but in that this has come up a couple of times, we'll see if we can supplement that and particularly deal with the previous question.
Okay, and here's another question. will we be getting info about the DMR QA and will it still be running? How about contract labs? That one I'm gonna have to bump to the regions. The contract labs are essential.
Yeah, you know, on that one, contract labs, you know, our view, we've gotten this on the drinking water side as well, and we have, you know, publicly stated that labs that are doing analytical work for you are, you know, would be considered essential because it's supporting your function. In terms of the DMR QA, can I get somebody from the program to speak to that? You're going to have to unmute yourself on *6 if you're going to do it. Okay, we have no volunteers, so we will take that one. I'm sorry, did somebody?
There are a lot of people online. Maybe they're just deferring to each other, but go ahead and if you know the answer.
Yeah, it sounds like we don't have any volunteers, so we will okay. We will take that question. We will take that question back.
Commissioner,
I'm sorry?
This is Debbie Dark. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
So I will just say the DMR QA study 40 instructions from EPA have not come out yet. And our headquarters office is making decisions right now about how to handle that for this year.
Okay, so something is forthcoming from EPA. And it's in process.
Commissioner, can I just mention, so I am seeing a few chat questions that are coming in. I'm copying those and pasting them into something I can distribute internally so that we can get responses, you know, included in the document we're preparing. If people can use the chat function, that would help to ensure that I am able to get, you know, the question accurately. And also that I would be able to distribute it properly to either internally to DEP or EPA.
And send them to, to me right now in an email if you can.
Yeah, email works too.
Yeah, you know, because not everybody is going to be on the, you know, on the computer thing for including yours truly.
Yes.
So, you know, some people are going to be on the phone and they won't have that option, but, you know, we'll gather up the questions. But in the meantime, if you're getting some, are there any that you would like to highlight right now that we can go over here?
Okay, somebody here has believes that the governor's order does include financial payroll personnel as essential. So we will definitely look into that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's see. We've got... is there money available for COVID-19 expenses?
So far, I'm unaware of a particular fund. You know, I know it's being, I was reading something. I know it's being talked about even nationally. But we at this time, I don't have an answer for that, but I will note it as a question.
Okay. Let's see. Here's another question. Can you please provide an update on the plan for finalizing the clean water intended use plan that will be financed through Clean Water SRF loan program? Particularly regarding the asset management planning grants, do you anticipate any effects on the timeline or procedural changes for the June 30th appropriation of local funds, October 16th financial application deadline, or any other program changes?
Great question. Really, really great question. I'm glad you brought it up. We are trying to keep the intended use plan moving forward on the same time frame. One of the logistical things we encountered is that, you know, typically we have to host a public hearing and right as we were getting ready to do that, all of this started to happen. So we are working right now, and I believe we'll have something to say very soon about, you know, how we can deal with this. You know, obviously the idea of a, you know, a you know, a big public meeting isn't going to be anything that anybody's going to do anytime soon. So, you know, what's the workaround we can do and still keep the IUPs moving forward? We recognize that there are municipal timeframes and we want to keep the program moving. It's essential to keep it moving. So I'm hopeful in the next couple of days we'll be able to have more to say on that. We have highlighted this as a high priority for us to be able to move forward on. And we're talking to the lawyers and to all the, you know, all the people that we need to consult on that. So yes, we will keep that moving and we will be working really hard to publicize that.
Commissioner, it's Lelden. I did get a question or a comment rather from one of the towns who says that they have received from Massachusetts Emergency Management Agency that enables them to keep track of all the expenses that are encountered as a result of this declared emergency, and that there may be FEMA funds available. So I would encourage people to reach out for those. If we can locate those sheets, we can also help to get them posted. And it's been my experience with reimbursements, and this is a very important point. FEMA has been very rigorous in more recent emergencies about requiring that people be able to document their expenses, which means having receipts and also being able to demonstrate that that the actions that they were taken were being taken under the authorization of a declared emergency. So I would encourage people to help to locate those sheets and then keep track of their receipts as well as their the authorization, which will, of course, you know, the governor's authorization is, of course, posted. In addition, right. One last thing. Denny Dart from EPA asked me to send out the EPA contacts. I've put that into the chat box. We'll also include it in the document that we're preparing. Thank you.
Great. And yeah, we'll make that a to-do because that I suspect that's related to that previous question on funding, which I, you know, didn't fully, you know, it didn't occur to me that, you know, people might also, you know, be wondering what to do now with respect to keeping track of expenses. So I'm really glad people brought that up again. We will also ask our colleagues at MEMA, you know, what the guidance is, and that's a question and answer. We will add into our information. But in the meantime, you're right. If you've gotten that kind of guidance directly from MEMA, we'll I'd encourage you to follow those instructions.
Okay.
So,
oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Do you have time for more questions, or should we put these
sure.
in the Q&A?
No, I have time by all means.
Okay, there was a question about what about smoking or when working in the treatment plant or the collection system? Are there health concerns? And I think the question is, you know, touching the water and then touching your face with the cigarette.
Yeah, you know, again, we're relying on the workplace guidance that, you know, we're getting from, you know, that our Massachusetts Department of Public Health, they have the COVID-19 website, and it includes the best practices for workplaces that they and OSHA have put together. You know, we don't have any, you know, particular, you know, unique DEP guidance, but you know, they're encouraging people to, you know, you know, use the best practices, which we're all aware of. And you know, certainly, hygiene, limiting touching the face and other of those things are certainly part of it. But I'd really commend all of you to look at those, you know, specific practices there and, you know, as guidance that we, you know, because we've asked and we continue to ask public health authorities and they tell us that's really the most up-to-date information that's available right now.
Here is another. We have three operators at our plant and we plan on rotating staff, having one operator come in each day with the others on standby offsite to reduce infection of the operators. We set up communication through texting and phone calls for safety and support throughout the day. Is this something I should notify DEP of?
You know, generally, first of all, I commend you, you know, I commend people for coming up with these types of protocols to keep people as safe as possible and also to, you know, keep operations going. If it were possible, if you, you know, again, if you're concerned that this is not, you know, this is at variance with your staffing plans, yeah, just let us know. You know, in whoever your regional person is, but you know, I once again appreciate people's thoughtfulness in this.
Okay, we have a few more. Let's see. We got it. Thank you.
okay. Let's see.
And somebody has given us a CDC website link. Thank you. We will make sure that's in our Q&A. We have a reminder to encourage people to join MassWarn for municipal wastewater systems, and that's at www.mawarn.org, which is sort of like a mutual aid group for water and wastewater service industry. Let's see, we got another question coming in. Following up on the question regarding possible increased risk of infection for aeration and mixing of wastewater, where do we go for an answer on that?
You know, that's, you know, we will, I would encourage you if, you know, you're able to talk to your local health authorities, that's one avenue. As I've indicated, we will talk to our Office of Research and Standards, who in turn would probably need to be coordinating with the Mass Department of Public Health, but that's kind of the best, you know, that I can think of right now to do, and we will start that immediately. And in the meantime, you know, I'd encourage people again to take a look at the World Health Organization and CDC links that we've been talking about, but we will follow up with our Office of Research and Standards and our Department of Public Health.
And Commissioner, it looks like I do not have any further questions coming in.
Thank you. What I might do here is, if there's something that didn't get covered that you'd like to get covered, it's really hard when we have hundreds of people on the line, and I recognize it's a bit of a challenge because, you know, if everybody unmutes on once, it creates a lot of sort of background noise and things like that. And I apologize. We're still getting used to the new age of virtual ability to have a lot of people on the phone all at once. But if there are a question or two that you'd like to ask by unmuting yourself with *6, we'll do our best and see how it goes.
Hi, this is Danny from the Town of Saugus Wastewater Plant. I was just wondering if we can catch it airborne in the plant.
You know, again, we're going to do our best. We'd refer you to the, and we should probably send this out sooner rather than later. You know, the World Health Organization has stuff. OSHA has stuff, but we're going to try to see what kinds of specific information we can get by talking to our Office of Research and Standards. You know, so far, you know, we don't have anything that, you know, says anything definitive on that. So.
Okay. Thank you.
How do you go back? Okay. Well, not hearing other questions, as I said, this is the first of our opportunities, not the last. I'm planning to do another, call again with you next week. If that's helpful, we will save this time again next week. We really appreciate everybody's participation. I cannot thank you again enough for the work that you're all doing. You know, the work you do every day is important. The work you're doing right now is, you know, I really want to commend you for the thoughtfulness, the planning, the thinking ahead, and you know, working to, you know, address this very unprecedented situation. We will push out, you know, our contact information and these questions and answers. And there are a number of areas where we're going to follow up, and we will work to do that expeditiously. And so when we actually have, you know, the questions and answers up on our website, we will also make it, we will also work very hard to make sure that, you know, these Q's and A's are up there, and these will continue to be updated as we move forward. So thank you once again, and I wish you all the best, and we look forward to continuing to engage with you.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner.
Bye-bye.
We'll be ending the call now. Thank you very much, everybody. We'll send out an announcement about the next call soon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.